Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
How are we doing? Don't be like that. How are we doing? Yeah? Happy to be here? Good, good. Well, if you missed it, my name is Michael, part of the team. And tonight we find ourselves in this kind of unintentional series on the church we want to become. So 2 weeks ago, Tim brought this message on the power of prayer. I want to be people who are growing deeper, going deeper in prayer and like having earnest prayer at our core. Then last week, Damilola, he was here for that. Amazing message. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast. She brought this message on diversity and unity in the body, that we should have equal concern and honor for one another. And up for today is the theme of service. Wow. And we're going to explore this in Romans 12. You see, we don't want to be a church where you just come to receive, but a church where everyone is equipped to be able to give to one another. Now, one of my earliest childhood memories was being dragged along to church. My parents were actively involved in church, and we would spend most Sundays either going early, helping out. And to be honest, most of the time, I was bored out of my mind. Like, I just didn't want to be there. Until one Sunday, someone asked me to do the words. They said, hey, would you help us with the words? Now, back then, we didn't have like a 4K projector or nice presentation software. We had these transparent sheets with handwritten lyrics. Who remembers those? Yes, yes. Now, one of the reasons why I love doing it so much is because I hated doing the actions. I would do anything to get out of doing the actions. Anyway, that is kind of a little bit of a side note, but the reason why we're speaking about this today is because where we're headed as a church, where God is taking us, is going to require everyone. If we're going to reach this city, it's going to involve all of us. There's a burden on us to be light to, in, and for the city, and we want everyone to shoulder that burden with us. We're not just satisfied with reaching a few people. We want to reach everyone in our city. And so tonight, I really feel like the Lord is going to teach us what it looks like to serve our city and one another in our community. Now, as a church, we have already embraced this call to serve our city. We have Love Your Neighbor. We've got a food bank. We have provision. We give financially to missional partners. But we get that in of themselves, those things are not going to transform anything. Service is a call to think beyond just a one-time act. It's something that lasts longer than just handing out a food bag or running a six-week course. It's this understanding that we're offering ourselves up to be used by God to bring His kingdom a little closer. Service is a matter of heart, mind, and soul. And service is something we can do anywhere. So if you're visiting tonight, you can just take this message and apply it in your local context, in your church. Now, if you're not a visitor and you've been here for a little while, you know that we have some needs around here. Tim has just explained, we're at capacity. Like, we have got some very obvious needs in our body. And I really believe that in faith, you guys saying yes, we're going to be able to meet those needs. Are you up for that? Yeah? In faith, they're going to be fulfilled from the yes in this room. Now, often when I think it comes to serving, or we ask you to join a team quite a lot, but often when it comes to that, we can just think, oh, they just want me to do them a favor. Or why do they keep always asking me? Don't they have a big enough staff team to do that? Now, they're pretty good questions to ask, but I think they're missing the point. You see, we're not looking for you to do us a favor. We want you to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and approve what God's pleasing will is for your life. Okay, so let's get our Bibles out. We're going to look at Romans 12, 1 to 12. Actually, let me pray before we get stuck in. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And I just pray that as we read this, whether we've read it dozens of times or whether this is the first time, that it would become alive in us, that you would give us a fresh revelation on your word. Amen. Okay, Romans 12, is everyone there? You got your Bibles out? You turned them on? Okay, Romans 12 says, therefore, let's say it together, therefore. Oh, well, not the whole thing. Sorry, just the word therefore. I mean, we can, but it could take quite a while. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, I'll read this on my own. Thank you. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we have Paul speaking to the church in Rome, and Romans 12 follows where Paul has set up this whole kind of foundation of the Christian life. He talks about sin, salvation, the Holy Spirit, and he starts this chapter by saying, therefore. So Paul is saying, if you believe everything I've just told you, if you understand it, if you really understand the gospel, then this will be your response. You're going to live like this. If you believe in the gospel of Jesus, then you must become a living sacrifice. Now, this word sacrifice in the original Greek is the word for killing. You got to make your life a living killing. Now, you should question that because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's deliberately paradoxical. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, animal sacrifices were offered as a way of dealing with our sin. And Paul was writing to the Jews. They would have been really familiar with this. It was like this symbolic ritual. Sin needed punishment, and so the sacrifices represented that. And a living sacrifice is Paul's way of saying that the Christian life is both unlike it and like those old animal sacrifices. Now, firstly, it's unlike it because we now have Jesus. Yes. No more, as Soph said, no more do we have to try and clean ourselves up or work our way into this thing. Jesus has already ended all of our guilt and sin offerings. His death has paid fully for all of our sin, our past, present, and future sin. Jesus was the final sacrifice. That is good news tonight. But it's like it because something still has to be put to death. We can't live a Christian life without putting to death this idea that our needs are greater than anyone else's, or we have the right to live as we choose. We have to put to death the idea that we belong to ourselves, that we know what's best. We recognize that it's I who's been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, to do that feels like death. You want to go one way, and God's leading you another. It can feel like death to give God your plans, your dreams, your hopes, your desires. But on the other side of that is so much life. If only we really knew. That's why it's called a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that leads to life. Because we're all living and serving for something. It could be our careers, it could be someone's love, it could be for a better car, a better life, a longer holiday, fame, fortune, success, the list goes on. And eventually those things will lead us to death. They're gonna crush us. But the difference with Jesus is that it's a sacrifice that leads to life. So it can feel like death, and I kind of have my own story of this, because before I came here, about 5 years ago, I was working as a worship pastor at a different church, and I'd finished there, and I'd taken a few months out, and all of a sudden, this like dream job came about. It was like, oh, this is everything I want. And so we had the conversations, I'd, you know, kind of worked it all in, got everything sorted. And a couple of months into that process, I really felt like the Lord said no. Now, remember, this is like my dream job. This is everything I wanted, and the Lord says no. That's a hard thing to hear. Now, I could have worked my way on, said, you know what, no, I'm just going to keep going. I really want this, God. But I said, you know what, Lord, okay, this feels like you. I'm going to let that dream die. Now, on that side of it, I had no idea why. No idea why. To me, it seemed like it was perfect. And what I realized 5 years on, if I'd known that back then, I would have had so much peace. We don't have time to go in all the reasons why it should have worked out. But in that moment before, there was no peace. Like, it felt like death to give him that. But what I saw on the other side of that was so much life. Like, I am so glad I didn't take that job. So it can feel like death. Now, as we move on in this chapter, Paul says to offer your bodies. Now, he's saying that he wants every part of our lives, our public life, our private life, our thoughts and our feelings. Because our thoughts and our feelings, they don't go anywhere without our bodies. It means we're thinking this out in every aspect of our lives, every moment, every minute, every day, continually and deliberately offering ourselves up to him. Why? Because this is your true and proper worship. Now, this is an important distinction, because worship here means our service to him. Billy Graham has this great quote, and he says, "The highest form of worship is the worship of the unselfish Christian service." Unselfish Christian service. And this is what I want to get at today. Therefore, if you've made this decision to follow Jesus and become a living sacrifice, you will become a servant. Thank you so. To be a living sacrifice affects your whole life, your self-life, and your service life. So pick up again with me, verse 5. "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Now, this passage moves on to list all of those gifts. And these are all like abilities or ministering abilities to the needs of others. And we notice in verse 6 that we have different gifts. So the two things I want to point out is, firstly, you have a gift. As a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, you have a gift. And secondly, we're all different. We have different gifts. You have certain gifts, abilities, and experiences. Because you're sitting here today in Birmingham at 7:22 on a Sunday night, that means there's only things that you can bring. Only things that you can bring to this community, to our city. Now, that also means, and this might be slightly harder to hear, is that no one should be coming here to simply have their spiritual needs met. It's way bigger than that. We're not here just to be served, but to serve. We can't just receive the gospel, but we also have to share it. Our needs are not greater than anyone else's. You know, Jesus, throughout the New Testament, is often described as a servant. See in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life, offering himself as a ransom for many." You look at Philippians 2:5, John 13:14, Galatians 5:13. You see, that Jesus gave his life so that we could find life. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is that we're all different. And Damilola, as I said, shared on this beautifully last week, on what it means to be the body. Like, it's diverse. We have different gifts. The ear isn't the eye, and the hand isn't the foot. And the implication is this, is that there are people out there that only you can reach. Solutions only you can bring. Initiatives only you can start. Now, when it comes to this list, prophecy, encouragement, teaching, giving, leading, like, we're not even going to begin to study what they mean today. That's not the point of this message. It's not about doing one or the other or finding your unique gift to bring to the body. While they're really important, that's not the point. The point is we want to be following God's will for our lives, to become servants, yeah? Because, you know, there's going to be this moment in our lives. We don't know when it's going to happen. But there'll be a moment when we're before our Maker. We're going to meet him. And he's going to ask us what we did with what he gave us. And we're waiting, like we are waiting for the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And when we hear those words, it'll mean we have followed him. It'll mean we've offered our whole selves, our flaws and our imperfections, humbly before him, so Jesus could use us. That we put to death this notion that we are living for anyone or anything else, and we followed him. Now, I think there's like some hindrances that can get in the way of us following him, because servants have masters, and we can have other masters in our life. There's the comparison thing, the preference thing, the busyness thing, our schedules, our commitments, there's our finances, there's the visibility thing. And all these things can become masters in our lives. So take comparison, for example. When I stand before him, he's not going to compare me with Tim. He's not going to look at my life and think of Tim. He's not going to look at Tim's life and think of me. He's not going to say, "Do you know what? Tim was a way better communicator than you, Michael. He had way more one-liners, way more analogies, way more images, way more slides." No, he's not going to think like that. He's not going to say, "Tim got ordained. He really wanted this. You didn't." No. No, he's going to look at me and think of me. He's going to look at Tim and think of Tim. He's going to judge me based on how I responded to his voice, how I followed him as a servant. He knows what gifts he's given me, my upbringing, my experiences, the opportunities I had to use them. My walk isn't your walk, and your walk isn't my walk. Isn't that good to know? It's going to look different. So we got to put this comparison thing to death. It's you listening to his voice, following him. Another thing is preferences, what gifts we have or what gifts we want to use or even should use. You know, like, I would say leading worship is probably more of a gifting than speaking, right? And whenever I'm leading worship, I don't really think he's going to care too much about what song was number 3 in the set. Yeah, like I don't think that's going to be like high on his list of things to talk to me about. But I think what will be is like, what was your heart when you were serving? Were you serving yourself or were you serving the body? I think he cares way more about the stuff you guys are never going to see. My interactions with people, my secret life, my motives, acts of obedience, and how I responded to his voice when there was a need in front of me. All those times when I put myself first rather than others. Now, later on in this chapter, we're doing a little bit of a walkthrough on this. We don't have time to dig into this, but Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." So we got to put to death this master of busyness and productivity so that we would remain patient in hard times, faithful in prayer. These other commitments, not letting them become masters in our lives, but being devoted to one another. The visibility thing, that we would need recognition or applause for serving those in need. And I think, like, particularly in our younger years, we can be so caught up in trying to find our calling and actually miss what is right in front of us. Like what God's already given us, like exercising those gifts. I think we have too many masters, all begging for our attention, telling us what to do. So I want to simply say this. Our city has needs. It needs you. It needs your gifts, your experiences, your solutions, your abilities, and your initiatives. There are a lot of people out there who need to hear about Jesus. People at work, people at the coffee shop, people at school, people at uni, people on the streets. They all need you. You can bring something no one else can. And our church, this body, has needs. It needs you. And it has some obvious needs. We need people who practice hospitality by signing up to Hello and Welcome. You know, we've got these new gathering times coming, and there's going to be a need there. We're going to need people to step up and step in to what God is doing, like the story God is writing in our community. That's going to be an obvious need. You know, frequently we can have about 450 people come to a gathering, but only have two people signed up to serve on Hello and Welcome. That's an obvious need. I want you to imagine this with me. Imagine after this gathering ends, you chat with some people and they say, hey, do you want to come for family dinner? You say, yeah, do you know what? I would love to come for family dinner. That sounds amazing. So you say, give me the address and I'll meet you there. So you get there and you find the house, you knock on the door and you're kind of left waiting. 5 minutes goes by, 10 minutes goes by. So you just say, do you know what? I'm just going to let myself in. So you walk through the door, and then you've got this unfamiliar house in front of you. Which door is the toilet going to be behind? Which door is the bedroom going to be behind? So you're just kind of like casually walking through, just, you know, not want to walk in on anyone. You eventually find everyone sitting in the kitchen. They're all sat around the dinner table, and they say, do you know what? There's some food over there, so just help yourself. Take a seat on the sofa. Now everyone else is at the dinner table and you're sitting at the sofa. So you start to get your food, you take it to the sofa, and as you're getting there, you realize, oh, all of this conversation is about the last family dinner. Like you don't really have a way in. How would you feel? Like an outsider. Do they really want me here? Like, it's hard. It's hard. And the reality is, like, we have people coming here who are going to feel like that. That might be even your experience coming here. It's hard. It's hard. You might feel like an outsider. And we want to have people who are strategically placed to make sure that people are welcomed. Yeah? Like, of course, all of us should be welcoming people. Like, it should be in all of us to say, okay, hey, I'm going to introduce myself to you. Like, all be up for that. But it just hits different when someone's on the roll, like when they're serving in that place. You do it differently when you're assigned to it. And so we don't want anyone to come to our church and feel like that. We want to make sure this is a place of welcome. It's warm. People are friendly and encouraging. So there's an easy need there to practice hospitality. Now, I could say this about kids and youth and all the rest of them. Like, this is not just a one-time thing. But we don't want anyone who comes to our church to experience that. We want people to lead by using their gifting on instruments, running lyrics on the computer back there, helping with the offering, cleaning up all those little paper cups. We need people to give time to help at the community shop, run courses at Love Your Neighbor, and really get involved. You know, even serving in a church, there can be some hindrances to that. You could be burnt out, overused, not appreciated. I get it. It can take a lot. Serving can be incredibly inconvenient. So, doves, why don't you come and play? Servant doves, wherever you're at. Paul opens this chapter by saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. He's not commanding us. He's strongly encouraging us. You don't have to do this. Like, we all know that our salvation isn't dependent on it. We don't serve to gain favor. We don't serve to get into heaven. We do it because we belong to God. In view of the mercies of God, this would be our fitting response. It's just a different motive. It's no longer doing the right thing or living a good life. It's stepping into God's good and pleasing will for your life. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how many beautiful people we have in our church who already do this. You already are stepping up to the need. Now, don't come at me because I can't name everyone, but I do want to shout out just a few people who I think demonstrate this. I think of Mercy. Mercy was involved in a songwriting competition with Gary Barlow and just, you know, doing great things, right? And so she could have easily said, you know what, I just have too much on right now. Like, I've got other priorities. Like, I really need to hone in on this songwriting thing. Yeah, Mercy still comes to young adults. She comes early. She sets up for tea and coffee. She creates a place where people can connect and encounter God. Like, that is someone who has found the joy of serving. She gets it that she's living bigger than herself right then. She's stepping into something bigger than herself. Also think of Jess, who's a solicitor. You know, just working crazy long days. And she just gave up 2 weekends, last weekend and this weekend, to do lyrics at the Orchard. Now, doing lyrics at the Orchard is not a nice job. You're in a dingy bit at the back of the room. Like, it's not a glamorous thing at all. And now, Jess would have every right to be like, do you know what? I work really long hours. Like, I do media every week. I don't want to give another weekend to that. Like, we'd say, do you know what, Jess? Of course, like, have a day to receive. Like, that's cool. That's cool. But she has discovered the joy and the privilege of helping a couple thousand women encounter God. Like, isn't that amazing? She's also dating a guy from the worship team. So if you needed another reason, there's one. You can fast track your way into chatting with others. Also think of Ben, this guy here. Ben, 14, he's on Hello and Welcome every Sunday. The biggest smile on his face. He's loving his little life. Like, he's really enjoying it. Ben is on a really good path, isn't he? Like, I love that he's found the joy of serving. He's living bigger than himself. There's so many people I could name. But tonight, I'm encouraging you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to Jesus and become a servant. Step into something bigger than just living for yourself. Okay, let's stand together. It's heavy, but it's needed. So as a response, you know, we're going to send you an email tomorrow, and it's going to have a button on it that says serve on a team. I want you to click that button and check it out. Also, in the cafe, we're going to have a bunch of people who are going to be there with an iPad. Just ask them questions. What teams are available? How often is it? All of that practical stuff. But I also wanted to pray because I think it's really important. This is like a heart issue. This is not just a time issue or anything else. So why don't we close our eyes and just let this sink in for a sec. If the Lord has revealed anything in your heart tonight around this, I want you to come and get prayer. I want you to be honest with yourself. Maybe it was that you've let other things become a master, or maybe you've just been a visitor for too long here. It's time to be part of the family. Maybe you've been hurt from burnout. Come and get prayer. The Lord wants to bring restoration tonight and healing. So if you're like a part of the prayer ministry team or you're a small group leader, can you just come out to the front? Just come out, grab a lanyard, come out to the front. And these guys are going to be waiting to pray with you. And so as I begin to pray, why don't you just make your way forward? Come and find someone with a lanyard. So if there's anything that has come up, come and get prayer. If the Lord has revealed something in your heart tonight, and as I pray, just make your way, just begin to make your way, just find someone. Instead of them finding you, you can find them. So Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and search our hearts tonight. Would you expose and show us where we have served another master? We were never designed to have two masters. Lord, we don't want our schedules, this feeling of productivity or passivity, our friends or our addictions or all this other stuff getting in the way from offering ourselves. Would you come and burn those away, like rid us off it? Let this be not something that we quickly forget, but like put this deep within us. And Lord, I ask that your will for our lives would be exalted over every other will. Death, sacrifice isn't fun, but I want to prophesy that this would be a joy. It would be a joy to serve. On the other side of this will be so much life. Where you've been burnt out or taken advantage of, Lord, I pray that you would just restore. Where people have given out, Lord, would you restore to them tonight? Or if you felt like a visitor, you would feel like you're part of the family.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gastreetchurch.